In the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5, reading verses 13 to 16. And if you're using the Black Pew Bibles, that's page 968. Let us hear the word of the Lord. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. On Sunday, April 8, 1945, German pastor and theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer was taken from a worship service that he had just conducted for prisoners in a concentration camp in Germany. He was then tried for treason and hanged just a couple of weeks before the Allied forces liberated that prison camp. Now, a doctor at the scene described Bonhoeffer's final moments like this in his journal. Through the half-open door in one of the huts, I saw Pastor Bonhoeffer, before taking off his prison clothes, kneeling on the floor, praying fervently to his God. I was most deeply moved by the way this lovable man prayed, so devout and so certain that God heard his prayer. At the place of execution, he again said a short prayer and then climbed the steps to the gallows, brave and composed. His death ensued after a few seconds. In the almost 50 years that I have worked as a doctor, I have hardly ever seen a man die so submissive to the will of God. Now, Bonhoeffer believed the words of Jesus, even to the point of his death. To Dietrich, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world." And when we accept those words as well, it may mean that we are called to do something which will also lead to persecution, rejection, ridicule, and some very difficult decisions. For it means radical obedience to Jesus. It means we should make a difference for Jesus in this world. And if you believe those words of Jesus, then you are being salt and light to this world. And in our passage today, this is what Jesus calls his followers to be. We have been entrusted by God, you see, to go into the world, to take the message of Jesus Christ into our homes, into our communities, into our workplace, into our schools, into our parks, with friends, and we are to help lead others to know who Jesus is. That is what is meant when Jesus said to his followers in Matthew 28, in the Great Commission, to go into all the world and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that Jesus has taught us in his word. And there truly is nothing more exciting or joyful than to know you are being used by God to bring his message of grace and hope, forgiveness, and eternal life to someone who needs to experience the love of God. Because just in our own small community, thousands of people have yet to experience truly the love of God in their life. Now, salt and light may not sound like a great strategy for reaching the world, but we have to understand how Jesus was using salt and light and as metaphors. And one thing, if we start with salt, is that what salt and light have both in common is that they again have this radical influence on whatever it comes into contact with. And that's an important part of understanding salt and light. Interaction. Engaging with our world with the love of God. And notice in our text that when Jesus said we are salt of the earth and the light of the world, he was not stating that as a suggestion. They are stated as requirements. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. No ifs, no buts, no ands about it. Jesus doesn't say you are like salt or that we will be light-like at some time in the future, but you are now salt and light. He said we are these things. And this is a major part of the calling of every follower of Jesus Christ. It's our purpose as his disciples. It's who we are and why we are in this world. Once we accept Jesus into our lives, we are automatically tasked with functioning as salt of the earth and the light of the world. Whether you read, and oftentimes I forget this as well, but we are called to make a difference in this world. Yes, life can get very busy and full, and there's many distractions, and there always will be busyness and distractions, but God, he wants to use you to advance his kingdom on earth. His kingdom, where Jesus is king. And so have you embraced that call? Have you perhaps maybe gotten away from it? Are you living out that call in your life with passion and commitment and dedication? Let's think about salt for a moment. What does salt do? For one thing, it makes people thirsty and it spices things up. It acts as a preservative and it also enhances flavor. So what is Jesus saying to his followers when he says, I want you to be, you are to be salt, the salt of the earth? And this is what Jesus is saying. Here is what I want you to do. I want you to live the kind of life that's going to make people thirsty. Thirsty for truth. Thirsty for God. If you go to the theater and eat lots of salty popcorn, eventually you have to wash it down. Salt makes us thirsty. It's the same way if you get a mouthful of ocean water. It's terrible. And you have to wash it out. We are to live, when you think about it, in our lives with such character and actions and attitudes that reflect Jesus so that as we interact and engage with the world around us, it will lead them to God. It will cause a thirst in them. And that's the work of God through your faithfulness to him. But again, be salt and think about your words and your actions as you consider this metaphor and how you live. Think about your attitudes and your moods as people watch and listen to you, as you interact with people at work or on the baseball diamond, whatever public place that might be. In order for salt to have an impact, again, it has to interact with things, meaning followers of Jesus need to connect with their community and be connecting with people who do not follow Christ and do not believe in God on a daily basis. What does it mean to you to engage in this world with the love of God? I love how the Bible gives us examples of what we're looking for here. So always use the Bible to understand the Bible. And this summer, I challenge you to read through the book of Acts, because in the book of Acts, you will come across one example after another when it comes to how the early church interacted with the world around them and how God used the early church to be salt and light in their community. Salt is also used as a preservative. It prevents food from going bad. So when we live life like a preservative, follow this train of thought, what are we doing? How is God using our lives? Well, he is using our lives, that we pray, to help slow down moral decay that we are seeing so much of in our society in the last 10, 20 years. When you are faithful to God, yes, your life will stand out. Your behavior will stand out. It will also stand against wickedness and immorality. And people will notice, absolutely. They already notice your children or your grandchildren if they believe in God and that their words are different. Their attitudes are different. The way they behave with other kids and interact with them are different. And the same is for adults as well. When you are faithful to God, your life will stand out and it will stand against the secular tide of where this world is going. And it's not going to a happy place. But we have these promises in God that give us reassurance and strength to carry on for Jesus each and every day as soldiers of the cross. We are to help people then discover and know that there is a joy and a peace available to them through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is grace, and there is, of course, God's perfect love for them as we shine that towards them, as we are salt. Salt also, again, enhances flavor. It's not only used as a preservative, but it also enhances flavor. So we are to live the kind of life that will show other people that following Jesus will also enhance their life like nothing else. There is no substitute for Jesus. He's the only one that can save us. People are that do not know God, do not believe in God, that do not follow Jesus as their Savior, they are looking in many different places to fill that emptiness in their soul. And only until they come into that right relationship with God through Jesus Christ our Lord will they ever discover true contentment. And if you have that today, if you have discovered that contentment in Christ, then your life is already making a difference to people around you. Whether you realize it or not, stay faithful in your commitment to Christ. Again, God wants to use you to build his kingdom, to advance his kingdom as we help people see that God makes a difference in our lives when we look to him, when we trust in him, when we obey his word. Just think about people in your life and around you. Who do you know that is filled with joy? What people come to your mind when you think of gentleness, love, forgiveness, compassion, a life of integrity? Those that come to my mind, for one, all have one thing in common. Jesus. They love the Lord. They worship him all week long. They're prayer warriors. They're so there for you when you need them. Now, salt is an important metaphor that God uses in his word for us to really connect with how he wants to use us in this world. But then there's light. What does light do? Light illuminates. Light exposes. Light draws people. Light attracts people. In the analogy of light to the world, the good works of Christ's followers are to shine for all to see. In Matthew, again, 5:14-16, it says, "You are a light, the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see." Light draws, light attracts. They may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And the idea here is similar. The presence of light in darkness is something that is unmistakable. The presence of Christians in the world must be like a light in the darkness. Now, will you live the kind of life that will attract people toward Jesus? That is a choice that you have to make. Nobody can make that for you when it comes to being salt and being light. Tony Evans, Pastor Tony Evans once said, "If you want a better world composed of better nations inhabited by better states, filled with better counties, made up of better cities, comprised of better neighborhoods, populated with better families, then start by becoming a better person." One thing I love about the family of God is that God has put you in my life to help me be a better Christian, and the people beside you and in front of you, all around you. We're in this together, people. We need to continue to pray and support and encourage and build each other up as we lift up the name of Jesus and see his name as a banner over our lives, over our church, or wherever God puts us to serve him. Live that kind of life. There's that old song we sing, "They'll know we are Christians by our love." And that's true. When you really love someone, they know it, and they respond to it as well. Now, in view of these verses, what sort of things can hinder or prevent the Christian from fulfilling his or her role as salt and light in the world? Because the warning is there as well. If salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything. What's a hindrance? What can get in the way? Well, this can happen either through a choice to accept the ways of the world for the sake of convenience, for the sake of comfort and culture. Any choice on our part that blurs the distinction between us and the rest of the world is always a step in the wrong direction. The loss of saltiness, the loss of light occurs and is occurring in the church when Christians fail to take up their cross and follow Jesus and follow him wholeheartedly, and when they fail to obey the word of God and stand on it. As you are considering what it means to be salt and light in your world, let me ask you this. Is there someone in your world who needs a positive influence? Is your neighborhood perhaps a bad place to live? Do you struggle to act like a Christian at work because you know you're the only Christian and you don't think it's worth it? Are there hard feelings between you and a family member or friend? Does your next door neighbor seem to be unable to mow their lawn? You don't like the way it looks compared to yours. Are there any annoying needs in your corner of the world? You know where I'm getting at with these questions. You have to be aware of the people around you and their needs. We all do. So how can you do something about it? And that is what salt and light people do. Don't avoid the bad. You get involved. You engage. You interact. Because again, it's not about you, is it? It's about he that is living in you, and that is Christ who is alive in you. God has you right where you are right now for a reason. So be faithful. Be committed to God's word. God is using you even right now if you don't even see it. Because I know it can be discouraging. But take heart, he's overcome the world. And we're just passing through anyways. Be faithful as an ambassador, as Christ's ambassador for this world. Now, how sensitive are we to those who have needs? Are we willing to find someone who everybody else is ignoring, avoiding, the lonely, the forgotten, those that live perhaps a lifestyle that we don't agree with, the grief-stricken, the sick? And now be the one God uses to extend compassion and love and point them to Jesus through your life, through your words, through what you have committed your life to. That will mark their lives, and that will make a difference. And it may very well change their eternity. Few things in this world are as salt-savoring and as illuminating as a simple act of kindness done in the name of Jesus. Now, a Christian doesn't hide their light. They let it shine. They apply their faith to life. And again, our faithfulness should be evident to all. We cannot fulfill our mission if we hide ourselves away and talk only to ourselves, which would concern me anyways if I heard you. God planted us, and God planted you in your office, your school, your campus, your neighborhood, so that our presence as the light of the world will, again, point people to the good that is in God, and steer people away from evil and wickedness. So how do we share the gospel message of Jesus? And how do we be salt and light to a world that calls the gospel intolerant and even offensive? Well, there are many practical ways that we can do that. We can feed the homeless, care for the poor, visit the sick in the hospital, send them an encouragement card, do something in our communities that would bring joy to others and show the love of Christ. It's a good starting point right there. So then when someone asks you, why do you do these things? You will be able to say without fear, I do it because of Jesus. I live this way because of Jesus. I'm happy and I have joy because of Jesus. Even when, well, we know that people already are quite upset about what's happening in our world. And they're all trying to turn places that to make sense of what's happening in our world. But through you, as Christ's ambassador, may they turn to Christ because of how you are living in front of them. That is being salt. That is being light. So again, we need to shine in order to be seen. So your presence wherever God placed you makes a difference. And so like both salt and light, our relationship with God should have an obvious impact on everyone who comes into contact with it. That's exciting to me. I hope it is to you. For Jesus isn't just calling us to be devoted. He's encouraging us to have an influence everywhere we go. So I want to close with these two simple commitments I challenge you to make as we head into our summer months. First, there is the salt commitment. Will you take this on? That I will impact my world with God's truth. That's the salt commitment. I will impact my world with God's truth. And that might mean speaking up at work, family gatherings, even around the table perhaps, community events. It may mean refusing to get involved in certain social behaviors and holiday traditions that you know ain't right, even if you're the only one not doing it. It may mean taking some criticism even for your faith. It may mean taking an unpopular stand on public issues. Remember, salt stings. It stinks. If you ever put salt on a wound, don't feel good, but then it cleanses. So impact your world with God's truth. People might not want to hear God's truth, but they need to hear it. And it's not up to you how they respond, but be faithful in being a messenger of God's truth. Second, there is the light commitment. And the light commitment is this: I will be bold so that others can see Christ in me. I will be bold so that others can see Christ in me. And that certainly involves deeds of everyday kindness. The people that you pass on the street, people you talk to on the phone. And you may have to roll up your sleeves and get involved with hurting people. I don't think I need to see a show of hands here today. You all know hurting people in our own community. It may mean going out of your way to help them, love them, forgive them. It no doubt means openly identifying yourself as a follower of Jesus Christ, because this is what Christians do. Now, it will cost you comfort and convenience following Christ. Following Christ costs. It costs Jesus his life, being obedient to God. Now, remember, the primary function of light is to reveal things as they really are. So the light commitment is being bold so that others can see Christ in you. Because when you've done your job, people won't talk about you, will they? No. They'll talk about Jesus. Now again, we are not called to save the world. Jesus came to do that. That's why we worship and we sang the songs that we did this morning. Because we are here to worship him and celebrate his goodness and grace. But we can make a difference as his ambassadors. We can't do everything, but we can do something, and what we can do, we ought to do. That's what being salt and light is all about. So will you take those two simple commitments into your summer months? The salt commitment: I will make an impact on my world with God's truth. And the light commitment: I will be bold so that others can see Christ in me. And take heart, if that seems a hard task for you, go to God's word. For Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your presence in this place. Yes, we thank you, God, for the work that you are doing in our lives right now. Molding us, shaping us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here refining us. Helping us to become more like Christ every day. We thank you for the freedom that we have in this country to meet together like this, to grow in our faith, to encourage each other. And as a new week approaches, God, Lord, may you find us faithful. Lord, when you come again, find us faithful in obeying your word, trusting in you and doing the right thing every day, even if it means we're the only one doing it. God, you have called us to be salt and light. Would you reveal to us areas in our own life where we can even today have an influence for Christ in the lives of people in our world? We give you praise. We give you glory and honor. To God be the glory, the great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.